Well, the peace of the Lord be with you. Many of you are well acquainted with the church. Lots of you have been part of the church for a long time, years, decades. You've served the church, loved the church. Some of you have even worked for the church. But what we have to do is be the church. This is the single most important for us as Seeds Church, is that we would be the church. The topic of the church has vexed my mind for a lot of years, and as I've become to realize its significance and its place in the economy of God, it's well worth our thoughts as to what it is and what it means. And I've come to realize that the church, as a broader understanding, goes beyond anything that's just a base level knowledge of what the church is about. It's actually a lifetime of learning and reflection. When the now deceased English clergyman David Watson discovered the importance of the church, he preached on it for a whole year. Imagine that. The New Testament uses the word the body to describe the church, and it uses it for good reason. Today is the last in our series on Christmas Unwrapped, and today included is 5 weeks that we've been working on this series, trying to figure out or trying to understand the gifts that God has given to us in order that we might be able to unwrap them and use them in our present life as we live and move and as we are the church. And we've covered 4, today is 5, and I think it's probably time to stop unwrapping Christmas presents at the moment and to move on to something else. But God has gifted us with this vast array of graces, and he's invited us to take them and to open them and to apply them in our lives. The story is told of a group of sailors who were desperately short of water. In fact, they had run out of water, and for days they drifted off the coast of Brazil, thirsty beyond thirsty, until they sighted another ship and they drew alongside this other ship and they yelled out, "Throw us some water, we need water." And the reply came back, "Throw down your buckets." And they thought they must have misheard. So they yelled again, "We need some water, we're desperately thirsty." And the reply came back again, "Throw down your buckets." So they threw down their buckets in this great act of faith, pulled up this water, only to discover that it was fresh water. They'd been sailing off the coast of Brazil, off the edge of the mouth of the Amazon. And there were hundreds of square kilometres of fresh water for them, if only they knew it was there. Some years later, a boat was found adrift with several bodies in it that died of thirst in the same place. Died of thirst over the massive expanse of fresh water. They didn't tap into what they had. My friends, the whole point of this series has been to highlight that we are recipients of the most wonderful inheritance. We've been bought with a price. We've been brought into a family that has unimaginable benefits and incredible privileges. I love the end of 1 Corinthians 13 where it talks about we now see through a glass darkly, but then, and I'm assuming the then is when we're face to face with Jesus, then we will know in full as we are known. In other words, we see now only just the shimmering of things, but then we will see in full. And what I'm trying to do is to rub back the dark that's glass, the glass that's dark, if I get my words around the right way, and go, look at what we have. Look at what God has given to us, if only we just opened it. Psalm 103, right at the very end, says this, "As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed, he remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like glass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it is gone. Its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness is with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. My friends, we have a gracious Father who has provided us with wonderful, incredible gifts. And he says, here they are. Why don't you use them? Today I want to finish and talk about one particular gift, the gift of the body. And we already saw, as Peter demonstrated so well, how we function or don't function without a body. And when I say body, I don't mean physical body, although they're fairly useful, aren't they? But the body that we are as the church, or in theological language, the body of Christ. Us. Each one of us. When the New Testament uses these phrases to describe metaphors of the church, it means it both in two senses. One is local, so us, Seeds Church, and it means it also in universal as well. And God, in his great wisdom and incredible imagination, has mirrored what the local does into the universal church. There's lots of ways we can talk about the church. There's lots of ways the Bible talks about the church, the bride, the people of God, the building of God, and of course, the body. So today I'm just talking about the body. So let me get into the question that I've been answering every time when we've met during this series. Why would we call this one a gift? Why is the body a gift? Why would we say it is true to say that it is the body is a gift? I want to give you two reasons, and they're not startling reasons. You can read this for yourself. I'm not giving you anything that's new or that's not in the text. And then I want to give a couple of applications, and I want to drive home a couple of points for us as a church and a bit more directional stuff about where we're going as a church, how it outplays in our setting. The first point is this. We're all connected under Christ. We're all connected under Christ. I know it's really obvious, but it's really important. It's so important that I cannot explain it to you how important it is. There's not enough words and not enough time for me to pad it out what this means. The simple fact is that Jesus is the head of the church, and in him we find our identity. So Colossians 1:18 says this, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. My friends, the gift of the body is the one who leads it. The gift of the body is the one who leads it. And we must never forget the connection of being in intimacy with Christ. The old language, and you'll find this if you read some of the older last century and before that volumes, the old language was union with Christ. That is, there is a bond that is beyond belief that we have with Jesus, who is the head of the church. He's the leader of the church, but it also goes beyond that. As we know, he bought the church with a great price. And so we are bought by his blood, by his sacrifice on our behalf. But first and foremost, this is the most significant blessing, gift, and abundant grace that is poured out to you, that we are connected to Christ, who is the head. There's an intimacy that is hard to describe. There's an intimacy that is a fusing between us and Jesus as the head. That's why Apostle Paul, later on reflecting on this and trying to understand what this means, says, no, it's no longer I live, but Christ that lives in me. I'm connected to him in a way that defies significant understanding. Let me try and give this a crass example, well, mundane example. I joined a club lots of years ago. As I'm sure lots of you are members of clubs, different sorts of clubs. I joined a club, paid my $76 membership fee, which means I get a monthly magazine, which is basically filled with advertising, and I get a few other benefits for the year. I can turn up the meetings if I want to. There's always an annual meeting where they're looking for people to, you know, fulfill the roles of different things. And there's a few other benefits that I can turn up for. But that's it. This club, which I'm sure you're all part of similar sorts of clubs like this, is very low connection. I hardly know who the other club members are. There's a few that I sort of know, but when we go to club things, we just get on and do what we do. I don't know who started the club. I don't really know the full purpose of the club or really what it stands for. I don't know what its political alliances are or anything like that. I just join for my own interest, and it's not really a very big part of my life. I'm sure you've got clubs like that too. But not so when I join with Jesus. Contrast this to the club that you joined. When I joined with Jesus, I became part of his body, intimately connected. And I got a direct line to the founder. He talks to me, he gives me hope, he gives me encouragement. He personally sees that my life is on track. He sees that my life is going in a healthy direction. He actually moved in with me. Sent his spirit to convey the best way that I can live. In every single moment of the day, he is open to my communication. He wants to do life with me. Not some association, but an intimacy. He wants the best, and guess what? He does that for all who claim his name, for all who are part of the body. I know I'm simplifying one of the most incomprehensible things in the universe, that Christ is the head of the church and you are connected to him. But I'm trying to do that so you can get a grip on it, you can see what it looks like in your life as well. The biggest blessing of the body is that Jesus himself is the head and connected to you. If you've got your Bibles, can you open them up to 1 Corinthians 12? 1 Corinthians 12 is the reading that speaks directly to what I'm talking about. And of course, there's other parts in the New Testament. But the first part of the reading from 1 Corinthians 12 gives us some different language to describe this connection with the head. So 1 Corinthians 12 from verse 12 says this: "Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body. Whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, we are all given the one Spirit to drink." You see, what the Bible is talking about here is the connection that we have with the head, Jesus. When you accept Jesus, when you make him Lord of your life, you become part of his body. You become part of what he is doing in this world. You're baptized into the same Spirit of Christ. And if you haven't been baptized, again, I say, why not? Here it is. It's assumed that members of the church are baptized. And you get to actually drink the Spirit in as well. So it's like an external part of being in the church, but also an internal part of being in the church. But it's all about being connected to Christ. That's the deal. The first point I want to make: we are connected to Christ as the head, and that is the blessing. The second thing is this, which logically follows the first point with no great surprise, is this: we are all joined together. So we have the head, and then us as individual members, but connected members. We're not just individuals. We're not just Lone Ranger believers. We're not just off on our own doing our own things. No, no, no. We are joined with this body. We have a common bond. It doesn't stop there. It goes beyond that. We are part of the whole, what God is doing in this world. So let's make this really simple. The gift of the body is that when others play their part, we are blessed. And when we play our part, we bless others. I'll say it again. The gift of the body is that when others play their part, we are blessed. And when we play our part, they are blessed. 1 Corinthians 12, you've still got it open? Keep looking at verse 15. It says this: "Now if the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? You see, the gift of the body is how others function, and our gift to them is how we function as the body. I want to take a risk of derailing the sermon at this moment, and I want to show you an illustration. It's one thing for me to talk about it. It's another thing for me to show what it looks like. So I have an illustration here that I want to show you. It's my friend. His name is Gary. He has trouble adjusting his hat. Gary normally lives at Annesley Junior School and is just having a guest appearance here today to be prime example one of what it looks like to be a body. You can see that this is just a skeleton sermon, and I'm making no bones about what we're talking about today. They were just waiting to happen. Sorry, I just couldn't help myself. You can see Gary here. Most things are in place for Gary, aren't they? Most things are where it should be. If you can see it. If you're okay with that, I'll leave it uncovered. The first service wanted me to uncover it and take more photos for some reason. I'll leave it uncovered. You can have a closer look later. He's very fragile, so please don't touch him. But you can see there that his foot is not in his ear. True? That's pretty obvious, isn't it? And nor is his knee connected to his arm. The ribs are there, holding space for his lungs. The neck and the spine are there and keeping everything in its proper place. It's a pretty good skeleton, isn't it? Or are you grossed out? Is that all right? You okay? All right. But there's some bits that are missing. Did you notice that? He's not really much of a human, is he? Because like, I can't say, Gary, could you please go and get in the car so I can take you back where you live? He hasn't got any muscles. He can't breathe. He hasn't got any lungs. He hasn't even got any eyes. Paul's just busting to get down here and have a look, I can see. He can't smell, he hasn't got a nose. He's even missing fingers, did you see that? He can't even hold his dinner. My friends, it's like the church. The point is very, very simple. It's like the church. When you are missing, the whole body suffers. That's the deal. And when you are meant to be the leg muscle and you're not there, it's not going to work, is it? When you're meant to be the lungs to breathe life into the church and you're not there, or to worship in the church and you're not there, we're all missing. If you're meant to be those fingers and you're not there, we all suffer. The gift of the body is when we are a part of it, when others are a part of it, when we all function as we should function and it all works well. 1 Corinthians 12 again, verse 18, but in fact God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. My friends, the gift of the body is that it helps us find our place. We all have a place in God's economy as part of God's church. This also means doing what we are meant to do. Helping others is what we are meant to do. It's a reciprocal blessing. When we function, it helps. And when others function, it helps. Do you see where I'm going with that? It's so obvious. We don't have to be alone. We don't have to struggle as a single believer. We are connected and we can draw the resources from that in as much as we give them as well. 2 points I want to make. Two things, and then I'll I can cover Gary up if you want, if you're not happy. The body, that is the church, is not a democracy. It's not based on our needs. It's not based on our likes. It's not based on our particular tastes. We exist to serve the King under his headship. And sometimes the members of the body forget they are not the head and begin to rule as if they are. And that's when we have a problem. And every church does this. And we forget we're under the lordship of Christ, that we were connected under his head. And what we have to do is figure out what part we have to play and what part of the body we are, and then do it with all our might. But to do that, and here's the most significant thing I want to say to you. To do that, we have to be connected to the body. We have to be not a dismembered part, but integral to the whole, so that the blood and everything flows through our being. We have to be more connected than turning up on a Sunday morning and going home. We have to do life together. We have to share life together. We have to be intimate with members of the body, involved with one another. And there are a couple of things we can do about this that will facilitate this like you would not believe. The first is this. First is to serve. Serving is the most underrated part of the body. Serving with other believers is the best way to enhance your body experience as part of the church. You see, when God's Spirit comes into us, he empowers us to do things and gives us gifts that we've never had before. And those gifts are all based around service. And sometimes we forget that's what our function is as Christ's body, that we need to serve. And sometimes in these new ways that God has given to us, we forget and we need a bit of a push. Most of us need a push when it comes to serving. There are lots of ways to serve, and lots of ways to serve in this church as well. I mean, you know, last Sunday, between the two services, there was 107 kids here. 107 kids. God bless those who serve our kids week in, week out. There are more opportunities if you want to serve in kids' ministry. There's welcome teams. You know, we've had so many visitors over the last 5 weeks. So many visitors. And we are so short on welcome teams. It's not funny. So people, new people are walking in these doors, expecting that God will speak to them and walking out the doors, because God's church has not spoken to them. If you want to serve, here's a place to serve. Do you know, the last couple of Sundays, we haven't been able to have coffee after the service. So new people who come, we've got nowhere to hold them, to stop them and say, would you come and have coffee with us? Because we haven't got enough people to serve on coffee. Serve, my friends. Serving is the way that enriches your faith. Serving with other people helps. And it draws something out of you, and in the way you emulate Jesus by serving. And I know I've talked to you about that before. The second thing is this. The second way to increase the blessing of being the body is to be connected in a small group with others. And I cannot emphasize that enough. You must be in small groups with others. You must be connected with others. This is what makes us from this nebulous connection. You know, you just turn up, problem with a large church, you turn up and you can come and go and leave and not talk to anybody else. But this is what brings intimacy as part of the body. Not just something that's out there, but something that we share life with just a few people. Small groups offer us as a church the perfect way to connect at a deeper level. You get to share in a safe place once you build up trust. You get to care for one another. You know, caring for others is really significant for our spiritual life. And you get others are allowed to care for you as well. You get to support, to nurture, you get to study the scriptures with each other, get to eat and laugh and cry and do life with one another. My friends, you'll hear me say this, and you'll hear me say this again and again and again. You need to be connected in a group with others from this church. You get to be the body, the bits of the body that make it work. In a church our size, we have to be in a group. All of us have to make an effort to be in a body, to be in a small group, to be connected. And I know, you know, Wednesday night comes around, or Sunday night, or Monday night, whenever your group is on, and you go, oh man, I've had a big day at work. I don't think I can be bothered. I'll tell you what, the times that I've felt that, and I've made the effort, and I've turned up, I'm glad I bothered. I'm so glad I bothered, because it was so worth it. I've got to say this again and again and again. Being in a group makes a massive difference. For this church, as it is for so many other churches, at this particular time in our society and in our life and in the way we function, for this place, God has given us the gift of small groups. I don't understate that. God has given us the gift of small groups. And so my encouragement to you is to be in a group. That's why we're running this Connect 5 at the moment. If you've not been part of a group and you'd like to be part of a group, at the moment we've already got 45 people signed up already, plus a whole pile of others that Megan doesn't know about that are ready to come and to be part of the group. So join in. Be part of the group. Not being part of a small group is like having no blood flow into the parts of the body. There you have it, my friends. The gift of the body. And the end of Christmas unwrapped. Next week, I want to have a one-off sermon on how to find God's guidance in your life. But I want to encourage you. Live into the gifts that God has given to us. Let's be what God intended. Let's connect on a level with others around us. Let's live into the inheritance we have as children of God. Let's be the church. Let's be the church gathered in corporate worship. Let's be the church gathered in small homes sharing life with each other. Let's be Jesus' body here and in this place he's called us to serve. Amen. Let me say a prayer.